hot and humid, as you would expect for August 6th. And also, it seems like traditionally in August, and let me ask Ronald Serpas here, professor, practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief, New Orleans native. Do you remember August as seeming more rainy and it rains earlier than normal?
Yes, it always seemed that way to me. I mean, you know, if you have family that live in Central Florida, they have it every day, like 3 or 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But I think here we're seeing them a little later in the evening, 6, 7 o'clock last night, and forecasted again for today at 6 or 7.
Yeah, it seemed like sometimes in August they come earlier, though, for whatever reason. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, it interrupts your evening stroll, Tommy.
Mm, if you take one.
That's it.
Yeah, I got a dog, Grady, G-R-R-R-A-D-Y, grrr. That's how I named it that way. And it's amazing when I tell a vet the dog's name, they get irritated at first that I have to have 3 R's in there until they realize what I did, and then they laugh. So I guess it works out. But this dog loves to go out in a pouring thunderstorm and play ball. Rather than being gun-shy, when a thunder starts to roar or roll or whatever it does and lightning strike, he picks up his ball and he wants to run outside. But that's got nothing to do with crime. Let's talk about the FBI report that's out.
Sure.
You are an analyst. Tell me what you found when you went through this.
I found nothing surprising. I mean, remember this. The FBI crime reports are voluntary submissions by police departments. So it's not all police departments. It's been like that forever.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, there's a companion report done by another part of the government that polls people across the country. When you compare those two reports together, you find out that about a half of all crime in America every year goes unreported to the police. 70 to 75% of Americans understand crime from what their friends, family, and neighbors tell them about crime. Definitely not what the government tells them about crime.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line becomes this. We in government and media count crime. People feel public safety. Those are night and day differences. So I always took them with a grain of salt. Yes, we talked about them. Yes, we celebrated if we thought they were going down in our particular city. But they're just a gauge. They're not really that informative when you think about all these other known facts and the way people perceive crime and in the amount of crime that goes unreported. What was also released this week, that doesn't get a lot of attention by the media, and that's just the way it is. But it was also released this week, the National Crime Victimization Survey, which I spoke to, which shows tremendous percentages of crimes are not reported to the police at all. Final point. And what we suffer with here in New Orleans, when you have a tremendously long wait time for property crimes, that's going to drive down the property crime reports known to the police. The reports known to the police is what the FBI uses. So when the FBI says there's an 8.1% decrease in property crimes in the cities who've contributed, many of those cities like New Orleans have experienced tremendous increased wait times since COVID. And there's definitely a factor of having a halo effect of reduced property crimes when, in fact, they might not have been reduced much at all.
You know, I remember talking to you about this and I was about perception, and I was thinking about this yesterday in anticipation of you coming on today, and that is, and I want to open the Open Our Jeweler Talking text line here at 504-260-1870. On what amount of basis or how often do you think about crime every day? Because I guess I live a sheltered life. I live in Belchase. Property crime, for the most part, I think, is non-existent, at least as far as I'm concerned. Violent crime, non-existent. I've never been a victim of a violent crime or go to places where, you know, it's for whatever reason high risk or anything like that. So I got to tell you, when it comes to crime, as far as perception goes, that would be, I don't even know how far down the rank on my list, if it even shows up on my radar at all. Is that what you're talking about, kind of like, or it all depends on where you live or how it affects you?
I think that's absolutely the case, because if you live in a suburb or a rural area, you don't hear crime daily in the news. You don't hear crime daily talked about among friends and family. There is crime, but it's definitely less. I mean, that you just can't get around that. What happens in America, and this is my personal opinion, when we hear about police practices or crime, it tends to be populated in the media centers of America, not media as an industry, but just where the big major markets are, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Detroit, New Orleans, Miami. And people who watch the news and get these national narratives about crime more often than not look around and say, well, that's not the way it is here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what we see with the rates of police misconduct and accusations of police misconduct. What the national narrative tells us is not the same as what says in our neighborhood. So that's why that point, Pew Research does this all the time. About 70% of Americans perceive crime based upon what their friends, families, and neighbors told them. They trust local media and the police a little bit, and believe it or not, and this is an attack against our friends in the elected group, they don't trust politicians at all. This is Pew Research, right? Because you know why it is. People feel that there may be some jaded use of the crime data, left or right, doesn't matter. But that's it, Tommy. People feel crime. Governments report crime, and those are different, like night and day.
I'm glad you said that. Let me rephrase the question for people to text in. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not at all, with 10 being pervasive, how do you view crime in your everyday life, or how often do you think about it? A scale of 1 to 10, I would be a 1 to 0, because I seldom even think about it other than when it's on the news. And it seems like primarily what's going on in New Orleans has been domestic as of late. We'll talk about that when we come back, and more with former NOPD Superintendent Ronald Surpass, head of the Nashville City Police and Washington State Police, now a professor at Loyola and a consultant to all kinds of different people. 820 Traffic, WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Ronald Surpass. Did you ever understand why the term flatfoot was derogatory for a police officer?
I don't know. Suspected that they thought they were walking beats all the time before cars.
Probably
right?
Somebody
on your feet all day.
Yeah, somebody made up in a movie once, and everybody started repeating it. Let's talk about
Let's
talk about a number of police officers that were killed, because that number has gone up. Does that tell you anything? Can you infer anything from that? As far as why?
I'm not sure that 1 year's change of four horrible deaths tells us a lot yet. We know there's usually around 100 or so police officers killed in the line of duty. Generally, about half the time it's accidents. The other half of the time it's felonious behavior. So this is something worth watching. Young men and women who do this work are killed. Tommy, let's just go back to this other thing for a second. The brand new report that just came out last week, New Orleans would be considered urban and suburban, right? 38% of violent victimizations are reported in urban communities, 43% in suburban. That's violent crime. Property crime, about 25% of property crime in urban areas and about 33% in suburban areas is reported. Reported crimes become the UCR crime. So you can see the gap here. Tremendous amount of number of crimes just do not go reported. The loss of a police officer in service sometimes is considered an attack on society at large, because they are the most visible. They are the most visible reference of society's contract with one another to perform our lives in ways that meet moral and legalistic standards. So when police officers are killed, many people will say this is an attack on society. Many states have a death penalty for that work because of it. So it's always bad. Two police officers died in service during my time as chief, and both of them were killed in accidents. They weren't killed feloniously.
The way I look at it is that if somebody is going to intentionally murder a police officer, they would kill me or my child without it thinking twice. Is that what this is?
I think that's accurate, and I think that's what people think, and that's one of the reasons this guy Groves, who's still missing from the Orleans Parish escape, 12 weeks ago, is that he had been convicted of murder, multiple counts of murder. He has nothing to lose. The chances of him hurting someone to protect himself from police is very high.
Let me ask you this about cameras, because I was trying to think about a reason as to why it might be up or down crime. Is there any way to determine the efficacy of cameras when it comes? Because you can't, I'll watch movies now and I'll say, well, you can't do that because that would be on a camera. You can't do that. That would be on a camera. Has that, between Ring doorbell cameras, between security cameras all over the place, has that helped decrease crime, you think?
Let's separate it into two things. A camera in a public place, the research would generally tell us that it does not reduce violent crime, but it could reduce some property and annoyance crimes. That's separate from cameras on people's homes and businesses. I think the difference is not only what I just said, but home cameras and business cameras are at eyesight level. They're not a public camera in the air. So I think we have better chances of solving crimes with identification of somebody's face from a house or a business camera, because that's usually at street level or door level, whereas a public camera is up in the air. So the two work in concert. But again, to recap, the research on public cameras pointing down on street corners, very little effect on violent crimes, some effect on property and nuisance crimes, But that camera on your doorbell or that camera in a business is most likely to catch somebody's face.
And is that
a picture that you can use as a lead?
When it comes to the overhead camera, is that because of hot blood, passion, or beefs, whatever? It's like, I don't care if you see me or not, I'm taking this person out?
It has something to do with that. And remember this, violent crime is most often a crime between people who know each other and they're angry and something goes wrong and someone gets hurt. That's actually been the case for decades.
That's what I was trying to say. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate the expertise. As always, we'll talk to J.P. Morrell when we come back about this whole French Quarter thing. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. All right, 844, 16 till 9. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council Member at Large. How you doing, J.P.?
I'm good, Tommy. How are you this morning?
I'm all right. So tell me where we stand with this French Quarter thing, because I was under the impression there was two companies cleaning it, but it's only one now, correct?
Yes. So the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the residents against the mayor regarding her emergency contract. So that emergency contract disappeared, and the mayor did the right thing and reinstituted the IV waste emergency contract through December of this year. So there's one person picking up trash, one company doing the trash, while the lawsuit that Mr. Henry has against the city council still goes through the court process. And the last hearing on that case was the 5th, so yesterday.
And I hate to go over the same stuff over and over, but people have a hard time following this. Mr. Henry's beef with the city council is?
He had a contract that the mayor signed. The council also has to sign contracts to make them valid contracts for sanitation. There were a lot of discrepancies with the Henry contract, including him being prepaid for trash pickup, which no trash company's ever been prepaid for trash pickup, him only being required to carry half a bond versus a full bond. And because of those highly irregular clauses, the council refused to sign the contract, which under the law means he has no contract. Rather than accept that, he went to a court and demanded that the court make the council sign the contract. The district court ruled in his favor, so we are at the appellate court because the council does not believe, and that's basic civics, that a court can make a legislative body vote and make the legislative body vote the way the court wants.
What does the city charter say about, for specifically, the contract with Henry Consulting?
The city charter doesn't say anything specifically about
a contract like that. I phrased the question poorly, but
the city charter is very gray when it comes to contracting, which is why when the charter is gray, much like the Constitution, you are able to determine what you want to happen in law. The law says, and this was after the original Jimmy Woods, Alvin Richard post Ida process, the first part of our term. A law was passed requiring that we have transparent public conversations about trash contracts that the council and mayor would have to jointly approve them. That law was passed in late 2022, early 2023. It was not vetoed by the mayor, and that law remained on the books for several years until Mr. Henry made this lawsuit. This was another instance in which you have people challenging laws the mayor doesn't like, and so she made the city attorney not defend the law, which required us to once again hire outside counsel to defend laws that are on the books the mayor doesn't like.
If for whatever reason Mr. Henry wins his legal action, is he going to get some kind of back payment for this or not? Or do you know?
No. That's not the way it works. So first off, if he wins at the appellate court, it goes to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, as you've seen from the citizen contract, is more than willing to weigh on these issues because they are balance of power, legislative, executive issues. The challenge is that the timing of these contracts and the timing of these appeals, even if we were to lose at the appellate level, it is more than likely that either party is going to go to the Supreme Court, and this case could well drag into the next mayor's administration. You're not entitled to back pay for work that wasn't done, and since the emergency contract is in place and Mr. Torres is picking up trash, the city is not required to pay back pay to someone for work that wasn't completed. Further, there is a clause inside of Mr. Henry's contract in dispute which allows for termination for lack of appropriation, and when the dispute began, the council filed an ordinance to terminate the contract under its own clauses, by defunding the contract. So there is a high likelihood that even if Mr. Henry were to win his case, the council would still move to terminate the contract under the language in the contract.
You know, for the average person, this sounds like a lot of legal gobbledygook and a lot of politics and this, that, and the other thing. Do you have any idea how much is going to wind up costing the taxpayers of the city this whole exercise?
Right now, the only thing that's costing the taxpayers is the council's lawyer from when Mr. Henry sued. So, and honestly, it would have cost the taxpayers nothing had the mayor allowed the city attorney to defend the council in the suit, which is the city attorney's job. So right now, other than having an emergency contract in place, which considering the work that's being performed in the quarter and the fact that for the first time probably in the history of the universe, residents and businesses in the quarter agree on something, I don't think people in the quarter feel like for the service they're getting that that money is ill spent. But as I said, the only money that's being spent right now is the council defending itself because Mr. Henry sued the council.
Let me take a break.
A couple $100,000.
And I'm going to go back to the nature of this emergency because I'm getting a lot of texts on this. People still don't understand how we got to an emergency situation. We'll go back and look at that with J.P. Morrell. New Orleans City Council Member, 850, 10 till 7, 10 till 10, hello, 10 till 9, traffic, WWL. All right, 8:56, 4 minutes left with J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council Member at Large. J.P., just for a little bit for people that are asking, take us back to how we got to this, quote, emergency situation with trash collection in a quarter. J.P., you there? You got me muted? You got me muted maybe, J.P.?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm back.
That's all right. Tag me real quick how we got to this, quote, so-called emergency, because I got another question to follow up with after you tell me that.
Well, the only actual emergency is that when the Henry contract was declined by the council, the mayor refused to rebid it. So the mayor and council jointly agreed to hire Ivy Waste because of the Super Bowl, and they were in place to get the lawsuit resolved. The mayor manufactured a fake emergency to try and give Troy Henry the contract, and that's what the court just threw out. So we're still with Sydney.
So I see a story here posted at NOLA.com. Orleans Parish Clerk of Criminal Court is looking in a landfill for records that City Hall threw out. How hopeful are you that, and I don't know if you're going to endorse anybody for mayor or not, but how hopeful are you that the next mayor will work with the council and all of the foolishness and the shenanigans will stop?
I don't know. I mean, I'm hopeful that there are people who are running that will work with the council and be a turn the page on this mayor. But there are a lot of people that are running for mayor that don't think the current mayor is doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. And I would certainly tell every voter out there, pay attention to what these candidates are saying or not saying. If they aren't willing to say, I'm going to turn the page from Mayor Cantrell, that should be something that's disqualifying from my perspective. We need a clean break from this mayor.
Do you plan on endorsing anybody for mayor?
Not this time. Right now, I'm in my own race.
I have my own
reelection that I'm doing, and potentially after the primary, certainly I'll take a strong look at the candidates and see who's still there, and I'll endorse the person that I think is going to be the most different from the current mayor that we have now.
Yeah, we didn't invite you on about this, but Clerk Darren Lombard saying city workers told by Public Works Director to move official court documents, including murder and rape cases dating back to the 50s, and they just put them in a Gentilly landfill, and now they're going through the landfill to try to find them. Generally speaking, this is, in microcosm, how city government is not functioning currently. Would that be an accurate statement?
I think so. I mean, the reality is that I don't know in what universe that people thought it was appropriate to take trailers from the clerk's office to see documentation in it, and for some reason think that it was appropriate to dump that documentation in a landfill. The reality is that even if it did need to be disposed of, Tommy, that all that information has personal information, has sensitive information. If it was going to be destroyed, as a clerk would do if it was eligible to be destroyed, it need to be just shredded and disposed of properly. So it was literally just not, it was one hand not talking to the other, one hand ignoring what was supposed to happen. And it is, you're right, kind of a personification of kind of the the inability of the administration to communicate with other elected officials or to work with other elected officials.
I hope we turn the page. Thank you, J.P. Morrell. Appreciate it. We come back, we're going to talk about President Trump and an executive order as it relates to name, image, likeness. We'll be back, WWL.